RNZ Pacific News, Nisan Bulabinaka, Go Okoroe Hawkins. Heavy rain and flash flood warnings remain in force for the whole of Fiji. Schools are closed and government has advised non-essential civil servants to assess whether it is safer to work from home. In its latest update, the Fiji Met Service says a trough of low pressure, along with cloud and rain, will continue to affect the country over the next few days. Fiji's National Disaster Management Office stated yesterday that it will assess damages caused by flooding once roads are cleared of debris and water. A warning: some listeners may find this next story distressing. A former army officer has been sentenced to 4 years in jail after being convicted of sexual violation by rape in relation to an incident at an adult entertainment club in 2020. Savenada Seruvatu had served in the Fijian and the New Zealand Army. Haisa Almeida has more.
Savenada Seruvatu offered the victim money in food grants to have sex without protection. Despite the victim's refusal, he took the condom off during sex. At the Wellington District Court in February, Judge Ian Mill said the act was premeditated and had an enormous impact on the victim's mental health. Seruvatu has been sentenced to 4 years in prison. The former major was court-martialed in 2009 for sending lewd texts to a female captain.
Health officials in Fiji are worried about the spread of HIV during chemsex sessions. Sexual and Reproductive Health Clinic spokesperson Dr. Dashika Balak says chemsex is when drug users pop pills, share needles, and engage in group sex. She says a rise in new HIV infections has been linked to chemsex, so officials are working on strategies to address the problem. Health Minister Dr. Antonio Lalambalavu told Parliament last week HIV numbers jumped from 245 in 2022 to 415 last year. Dr. Balak says health teams have been already working hard to address a new wave of HIV cases, and now chemsex has added an extra layer of concern. She's labelled the issue a crisis. Climate ministers are preparing for the Copenhagen Climate Ministerial Conference, which starts on Thursday morning Denmark time. Christina Persico has more.
The Alliance of Small Island States says it's keen to see a strong commitment from the upcoming COP29 hosts, Azerbaijan, to ensure outcomes deliver the critical support needed to sustain livelihoods amidst the worsening climate crisis. Alliance Chair and Samoa's Environment Minister, Tuiole Sulusulu Cedric Schuster, says while they fight for their people in negotiating rooms year after year, the incremental progress made on addressing the climate crisis falls far behind the actual losses endured. He says this is a critical year as global emissions must be cut before 2025 to avoid the worst scenarios.
Denmark's Ministry of Climate and Energy says around 40 climate leaders and ministers will gather at the meeting to push for an ambitious COP29 result. Palau's National Congress is considering two proposals to raise the minimum wage. The debate centres on balancing the needs of recovering private sector facing inflation with the rising cost of living for workers. Lydia Lewis has more.
The Island Times reports the revised House bill proposes a first increase of 75 cents to $4.25 an hour on October 1st and going up to $5 an hour in the same month next year. It also proposes an annual increase of 50 cents until it reaches $6 an hour in 2027. The other proposal is from Palau President Surangel Wips Jr., whose plan caps the minimum wage at $5 per hour. The House bill applies only to Palauan citizens, while President Wips's proposal extends to all workers.
In Tonga, the identity of a new shareholder in the government-owned Lulutai Airlines has been revealed as the country's retirement fund board. Over the last year, Tonga's government had declined to reveal the company's shareholders amidst allegations of financial mismanagement in Parliament. Tonga's Business Registry's office shows the Retirement Fund Board became a shareholder on the 10th of August last year. Earlier this month, opposition MP Piveni Piukala had threatened to move for an impeachment if the financial details of Lulutai Airlines were not revealed. The Maui Police Union claims officers who risked their lives attempting to evacuate Lahaina Town in Hawaii still haven't been given basic protection equipment for future fires. HNN Investigates' Alison Blair reports.
The union's ask is for basic respiratory protection, things like masks. That along with more fire training. It's something officers say they've been asking for since the Lahaina fire 5 years ago that destroyed nearly two dozen homes.
Nick Crow is the Maui chapter chair for the State of Hawaii Organization of Police Officers.
Police work is already dangerous. Our employers shouldn't make it more hazardous by not ensuring we have the proper safety equipment before we start each shift.
Crow says MPD failing to equip its officers with proper respiratory protection is a well-documented concern going back to the 2018 wildfire.
A spokesperson says Maui Police started a voluntary respiratory protection program in 2020. The union says that's not enough. A Papua New Guinea film is premiering in New Zealand at Maoriland Festival this weekend. Inspired by a true story, Butterfly is about a woman who has a dream from her Papua New Guinean ancestors as she wrestles between her secret dream of being a makeup artist and her family's strict religious beliefs. Director and producer Vealua Ayla Onsworth has been living in the United States for the past 4 years. She says she's excited for more people around the world to see PNG culture displayed on the big screen. In world news, a group of U.S. officials are urging President Joe Biden to warn Israel of the serious consequences it will face if it denies civil rights and basic necessities to Palestinians. The ABC's Sarah Amur reports.
Nearly 70 former American officials, diplomats and military officers have signed a letter that says Israel's operations in Gaza and the occupied West Bank have been marked by repeated violations of international law. The signatories also say that while they believe an Israeli military operation against Hamas is necessary and justified, the U.S. should be willing to call out and oppose violations. Israel has previously denied that it acts in breach of international law. The letter comes ahead of U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's sixth visit to Israel since its war in Gaza began.
In sport, Moana Pacific assistant coach Stephen Jones says the team aims to improve in every game. They're preparing to face the Brumbies in Canberra on Friday night in round 5 of the Super Rugby Pacific competition. With 2 wins in the bag out of 4 matches, Moana Pacifica have already done better than their first 2 seasons, but Jones says they know they have a challenge ahead of them.
You know, we're conscious of the fact we need to work hard on a daily basis and improve our standards. Don't get me wrong, we enjoyed winning on the weekend, but we're conscious there's another big challenge ahead of us this week. But from our perspective and what we're discussing is just making sure we get better and just improve our standards on a daily basis.
McBurn says the Fijian Drua will need to be on their A game on Saturday if they're to stand a chance against the Waratahs in a Super Rugby Pacific battle in Lautoka. Byrne says the New South Wales-based franchise can take their opportunities at any given chance, and the Drua will have to be on alert.
We know that the Waratahs have a good lineup. We know they're a clever side. We just need to stay alive for any little opportunities that present themselves for us, but also any little plays that the Waratahs might have. We just stay alert for that. They can be a clever team that can take their opportunity. So I think we just got to bring our A game on Saturday, which we try and do every week. I think we'll be in for a good game.
The Ndrua and Waratahs game is at 2 p.m. New Zealand time on Saturday. That's news and sports from RNZ Pacific. There's more on our website, rnzi.com.